Hey, legends, you know, none of our interviews or episodes ever date, ever. They are all timeless and ready for you for when you're ready to listen. Download the lot and rip in.
Having a bet on sport or racing this week? Top this. With literally hundreds of markets from your own backyard to the international stage, Top Sport has you covered. Whether you're into soccer, cricket, basketball, or want to try your hand on the horses, harness, or even greyhounds, there's something for everyone. And they'll let you on for plenty. So if you want to get the top odds every time, download the app today and bet your way. Top that. Visit topsport.com.au. Top Sport. Feel the excitement.
Gamble responsibly.
Legends, how the bloody hell are you? I hope you're having the most awesome of weeks and getting ready for another confusing, probably disappointing week of tips and multis. Reckon it's going to be one of those years. It certainly started out that way. However, instead of concentrating on the negatives, we're pumping the positives right here. You'll be rewarded for dropping on in by 10 player interviews this episode alone. All interviews always exclusive to Unfiltered. You won't hear them anywhere else. We got some footy talk, some serious dunny chat as well, and a rant. I'm having a good go this episode. It's something that does my head in continually. This is the Rugby League Superpod. You've been warned. The 2014 Australian schoolboys side toured the UK and France. They played seven games in late November of that year. Luciano Leilua was on that tour. Cool experience for a young bloke, mate.
Yeah, it was. It was actually one of the best like camps I've ever been on. So it was pretty good. The squad that we had was crazy.
You guys started with a smashing of a combined regional side, I think it was. You won by 80 points, but the two tests against England Academy, one all, I think. Does that sound about right?
Yep, that's it. Yep, one all, yep. I think we won the first one, lost the second one.
Who else was in the touring squad? You said it was a real talented bunch.
Yeah, it was Latrell Mitchell, Gideon Mosley, Hamis Seller, Jacob Host, Tyrell Fumiono. There's a few in there. I'm just trying to remember.
I'm thinking the hookers may have been Jacob Little and Jaden Brayley, maybe.
Yeah, and Brayley, yep. And I'm trying to remember who it was. I think there was about like almost 10 NRL players that played in that team.
Mate, cool to be able to say two from the same family have played schoolboys because BJ played a number of years ago. That's pretty awesome achievement.
Yeah, it was really good. Like when he made it, I was like, I need to make this. I definitely wanted to make this because he had his tour here. We got lucky, so we got to watch it when he was touring here. So when I was watching that, I was like, oh man, it just looks so cool. Like it looked like he was the man. I was like, fuck, I need to play this.
This is Serious Shit. We just need to know. Nothing to do with footy, nothing at all but piss funny, and a good look at our guest joining us on this edition of the podcast, Adam Elliott, mate. I'm going to give you two options. All you got to do is pick one, and I'm going to start with summer or winter?
Summer.
Beer or wine?
Beer.
Sausage roll or pie?
Pie.
Horse or pokies if you're having a punt?
Horse.
New phone or new clothes?
New clothes.
Hamburger or schnitty?
Schnitty.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. UFC or boxing?
Boxing.
Looks or personality?
Personality.
I'm going to tell Mill. pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
No.
What's your go-to pizza, by the way?
Crust, peri-peri chicken.
There we go. Bath or shower?
Shower.
AFL or soccer?
AFL.
Nude or pyjamas?
Nude.
Dunny paper, folder or scruncher?
folder, mate. You can't be scrunching.
Of course you can't be scrunching. Thanks for being a good sport, legend, and we'll do it again soon.
Awesome, brother. I can't wait.
Having a bet on the footy this week? Top this. Top Sport have hundreds of markets to choose from across the AFL, NRL and rugby. So whether you're into the big goals or the big hits, there's something for everyone. And Top Sport will let you on for plenty. Top that. Download the app today and bet on your game your way. If you want to get the top odds every time, bet with Top Sport. Visit topsport.com.au. Top Sport. Feel the excitement.
Gamble responsibly.
And joining us again on the Rugby League Superpod, the CEO from Top Sport, the great man Tristan Merlehan, maybe the most confused man in Australia. And I guess, mate, that goes with upsets and that goes with form, because we are seeing markets change and change huge by the week, it seems.
Amazing. And it's just been such an interesting start to the season. And I think probably 2 weeks ago when Penrith got the upset without Nathan Cleary, I think everyone was thinking, well, this comp's all over, which, yep. It never can be the case this early in the season. But then a week later, Manly caused the big upset, obviously with so much to play for with DCE's milestone game. But, it shows that on a given day that with the right circumstances, they can still be vulnerable. So they are still the firm favourite. So at 3:30, Brisbane, despite dropping a few games recently, they're $5. They've got obviously a few injury concerns, but you get the feeling if they have all their players back on deck when the whips are cracking, they're certainly going to be there or thereabouts. But they're the $5 second pick. Melbourne just plodding away there at $7. They're going to be there when the whips are cracking too. The team that's one of the teams that drifted significantly on the back of the last couple of weeks, the Roosters, they're out to $10. They were well backed early in the season. Then on the back of the back-to-back losses to Penrith without Cleary and then to the Dogs last week, where they did make a charge at them late, but they obviously lost a few players as well. They're out to $10, fourth favourite. The Warriors are $12. They've been the biggest firmer. Manly, 13. The Cowboys, 16. The Sharkies, 21. And then the team that's been the biggest drifter by some margin are the South Sydney Rabbitohs, out to $41 to win the comp after they were the best back side in the preseason. Now they're right out the gate.
What did South Sydney get into, mate, over the course of the off-season? Because they were well into single figures, weren't they?
Yeah, they were $9, and they were the best back side. They were $9. We pushed them out to 10, took a big bet at $10, got them back into 9. But then they did drift before the season started because they did get a few injury concerns in the preseason. Yep. So they started the year at $11, but now they're out to 41, absolutely out the gate, and obviously a very important game for them this weekend.
Certainly, as you said, Parramatta at 29, they've drifted as well. The Gold Coast Titans, Top Sport is part of the sponsorship crew at the Titans. Tristan, on a personal level, as a Titans tragic, out to $201. Now, this is a footy side that it was almost a flip-em if they would make the eight or not make the eight in terms of markets, but what a poor start to the season there. And as a result, everyone's jumping off.
Yeah, they're jumping off and they're 200-1 to win the comp, as you say, and it's been a really disappointing start to the season. Obviously, Tino going down as well compounds it. They just haven't clicked with Desi at this point. And, they showed a little bit of positivity last week against the Cowboys, but still a long way off from being competitive. This is going to be a tough game again, travelling to Canberra, who are in pretty good form. But I think if they can continue to make improvements, we will see a charge at some point in the year, hopefully. But if you look at the least season wins market now, they're absolute clear favourites. They're $1.65 to win this market. They're $1.65 to get the least wins for the season. The Dragons are $4.40. The West Tigers are $8. Canterbury's $9. South Sydney are into $13 now after they would have been 100-1, I'd imagine, at the start of the year. Yeah, they were 100-1 in March. So they're the biggest firmers in Canberra. They were very well backed at the start of the year to run last. They're $26 and started the season really, really well. But unless the Titans can turn it around, they're very much favoured to get this award.
Mate, I always love looking into the crystal ball, and our top regular season point scorer, Valentine Holmes, is the current favourite at $3.75. I think that's value. I know it's an open field, but scores, tries, kick goals. Jermaine Asako is there. Reuben Garrick. Nick Meaney at $7. Zach Lomax at $13 with Kalen Ponga at $16. Nathan Cleary still sniffing about at $17 despite some weeks out of the game. Is there still interest on a guy like Nathan Cleary because he is Nathan Cleary?
I think it'll be a case of if he comes back from injury early, then maybe there'll be a little bit of specking once he gets named into a side. But at the moment, I think $17 is about right. Like, he's also going to miss games in the middle of the year with Origin. So, you know, that's probably a concern there for taking a bet in this market. But if you look at those top three, they're all wingers or fullbacks or centres that are going to score tries and also kick a lot of goals. So they warrant being the top three. I suppose Zach Lomax, depending on where he ends up, if he can go to a side that potentially is going to score more points than the Dragons were expected to do throughout the course of the season, then potentially he's a little bit of value if he can get on a run and maintain his try scoring nous at the moment.
Let's look at the top regular season try scorer, Sunia Taruva at $6.50. Ronaldo Mulitalo, always there or thereabouts at $8. Dallin Watini-Zalesniak, $12. Dean Mariner at $12. And this guy has firmed dramatically in a beaten side and a side that is playing with no confidence or no form. But AJ Brimson at $15, mate.
Yeah, it's probably the shortest price we've got any of the Titans runners apart from at least season wins. But, he's been a standout. He's been very good in defence as well for the Titans, one of the big standouts so far in a very ordinary season. But, yeah, Taruva's the favourite, $6.50. Mulitalo there at $8, as you say. Dominic Young, he was the favourite to win it all. Now, obviously, he's missed a couple of games with suspension and also injury earlier on in the year. Then you got at the Hammer at $15 and Jesse Arthur at $15 as well. So very, very wide open. I think it's going to be a case that this market's going to flip around a lot based on which players get on a run over the course of the next few weeks.
Excuse the dog barking in the background, everyone. We are house-sitting this week. We are out in the bush. We've got our own two dogs and another five. So it is quite the little party going on here as we're recording the Rugby League Super Pod. So with that in mind and the crazy house that is the Raymond House, we will get on to our charity bet. And our charity bet is for Labrador Rescue. Tristan and Top Sport donate $100. Tristan is in charge of the $100 bet each and every week because I'm terrible. Tristan, what have you come up with this week as our bet, our go-to?
Yeah, we might give me a run for a couple of weeks, and if I have no luck, we might need to call on one of the puppies around your feet to be able to take over. They might have a bit more luck than what we've got, but I've got confidence this weekend. I think there's a couple of teams here that I think are going to bounce back. I really like the Roosters on Thursday night against the Knights, plus the 4.5. I think they're going to bounce back and could potentially win that game. I think they represent a nice price. The Sharkies, I think if they're in front late in that game, I think they might put a few points on late against the South side, which just don't necessarily look like their heart's in it at the moment. I'm going to take them -9.5. And then I'm going to be a little bit biased here, but I just think the Titans +9.5, I think this is the game they really step up. I think they're going to keep it close. They may not win the game, but I'm going to take the +9.5. That gets us a treble there at $6.50 for our 100. So we're going to go for the Roosters +4.5, the Sharks -9.5, and the Titans +9.5.
Oh, I love the look of this and I love the logic of this. That is Tristan Merlihan, the CEO from Top Sport. He will be here each and every week throughout the season on the Rugby League Super Pod. Up next, an awesome little chat, a dream team of sorts, but a dream team of Joels with a guy that could seriously play footy. He was a beauty, and I'll give you the tip to just as good a bloke off the field. He is a beauty. Here's Joel Kane with a team of Joels.
Ah, the Joel 13, Andy. Now, people say, am I a winger or a fullback? Well, I've actually played 51.64% of my career at fullback. So I'm a bloody fullback, Andy.
Done.
So I'm selecting myself in the one jumpy. Happy with that?
Done. Perfect.
Righto. On the wing, both these fellows played for the, I think you'll find they played for the Northern Eagles and the Bears or Seagulls. Joel Penny.
Ooh, beauty.
Yeah, and Joel Wilson, right?
Yes.
The centre pairing, Joel Monaghan, Joel Reddy.
Couple of troublemakers there too.
Yeah. It might be in the name, actually. Number 6, Joel Moon.
Yes.
Number 7, he never played first grade here, but he was a young Tiger who won a 20s competition. You'd be familiar with the name Joel Luwani.
Yes. A very good little footballer.
He was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he played for USA and Tonga, Joel Luwani. Now, I love the name. I haven't seen much of this bloke, a Papua New Guinean representative, Noel Joel.
Noel Joel.
Yeah, he's a front rower.
He has absolutely got to get a start.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I don't even know if he is a front rower, but I'm guessing he could play there.
If he's from PNG, Joel, he'd be comfortable there.
He'd be tough enough, wouldn't he? Yeah, Joel Romello at dummy half.
Yeah.
Joel Clinton, the other front rower.
Gee, Joel Clinton had a few good seasons, didn't he?
Oh, he was brilliant. He was brilliant. And the back row, very tough back rower. Joel Edwards from Canberra.
Yes.
Played at the Knights as well.
Yeah, he did.
Joel Thompson.
A given, yeah.
Yeah, and a fellow called, you may not recall this bloke, he played at the Cowboys, Joel Rithmiller.
Yes, it rings a bell.
Yeah, and I look for a coach, Andy. There's no Joel who's ever coached. There's no Joel who's ever coached.
We'll find a Joe and give him a name change.
Yeah, Joey Leisha.
Joey Leisha. There we go. There is the Joel 13 with Joel Kane, the fullback, and captain, I'm going to say. If you're not wearing Bisley, you're not wearing the best. That's the official line. My line, if you're not wearing Bisley, you look silly. For nearly 60 years, Bisley Workwear has been shaping the Aussie workwear industry with unparalleled quality, exceptional service and value for money. Regarded as one of the country's most trustworthy brands with a huge range of workwear, safety wear and protective wear for both men and women. Shop the range and find your local retailer at bisleyworkwear.com.au and tell them we sent ya. You know, you can listen to any of our interviews or episodes at any time because none of them ever date. They're just waiting for you for when you're ready to listen. Like this one, let's go back to an earlier episode with the great Jamie Soward. This is presented by the legends, Bisley Workwear. One of the great stories I've been fortunate enough to hear in a private conversation that I'm going to share publicly here at different times with Laurie Daly and Ricky Stewart, they've both told me this. When they played together, at times when they felt they were struggling, one of them removed themselves from the attacking set of six and basically stood out the back of the ruck and just watched, monitored the defence for six tackles. The next set he'd come back in, inject himself, know what was happening, know where the weaknesses were, and they were able to claw their way out of a little hole by stop, look and listen. It'd be really hard to do at the moment, the way the game is, but what a terrific yarn about two of the greats and one of the best combinations, seeing what's in front of them and actually playing it.
Yeah, and it goes against every coach's philosophy in go and tell your halfback to run the ball or tell them to get involved. And it's a great point because myself and Ben Hornby, if you look at the halves pair, and I'm not disrespecting what we did, but if you look at the great halves pairings over the last 20 years, I don't think we'd rank, in the top 10 in terms of premiership winners. But we had, for me, we had this amazing connection of, we had the left-hand side attack was cooking. So for me, rather than get jealous about that, I had to realise, I might just have to support the ball here and, take a set off, not a set off, but more or less just worry about my set end or, and Benny Hornby was the same. We'd have nights where I was cooking and '09, I had a season where the ball would bounce past six people and end up in my hands and I'd be running away to school. Like that was the season I had. But when it came to finals, I sort of pulled back a little bit because I wasn't really sure and Benny Hornby took over and it didn't finish the way we wanted, but it prepared me for the following year and we had this amazing relationship of, we knew when each other was on and when we had to support the ball. And you look at the grand final, all our tries came down the right-hand side. We had a kick plan that I'd like to think we executed pretty well. But Benny Hornby throws the passes on that right-hand side and I swapped to the left. Now, that wasn't me being pissy. That was just me putting my ego aside and going, let's win here. So I think the great combinations have that. Jerome Hughes and Cameron Munster have it. Jerome Luai, Nathan Cleary have it. And I wasn't saying it to get a rap for about my halves pairing. I just think if you look at the big names, you'd go Soward and Hornby. But what we did well is we respected each other's strengths and worked with each other's strengths.
If you're not wearing Bisley, you're not wearing the best. That's the official line. My line, if you're not wearing Bisley, you'll never win the big game. For nearly 60 years, Bisley Workwear has been shaping the Aussie workwear industry with unparalleled quality, exceptional service and value for money. Regarded as one of the country's most trustworthy brands with a huge range of workwear, safety wear and protective wear for both men and women. Shop the range and find your local retailer at bisleyworkwear.com.au and tell them we sent ya.
The Legends series are the ultimate in rugby league interviews. In fact, if you love your footy chat, but you love your live chat as well, this is for you. The biggest names the game has ever seen. You won't hear them anywhere else, and you won't hear them anywhere else like this. Let's go back to our chat with the great Craig Tugger Coleman. Do you remember playing against Souths for the first time?
Yeah, but I wanted to beat them because they got rid of me.
What was that week like? Was it confusing? Was it odd? Or were you just so ready to go?
I was just getting my boys ready to play them, yeah. So, but as I said, I owe South Sydney so much. I come from the Housing Commission in Redfern, and I've got a nice house in Mascot here,
yep,
which I wouldn't have if it wasn't for South Sydney. And, South Sydney gave me a chance. Football gave me a chance, where a lot of kids I grew up with didn't get so lucky.
From the Gold Coast to Campbelltown and the Magpies, Tommy Radonikis's coach, you said he was your idol. What's your favourite memory of Tommy, or your favourite Tommy story?
Oh, I played against Tommy.
Yeah.
When I was 18, Henson Park. And it's a classic story because Johnny Peake was our captain.
Yeah.
And Tommy was theirs. And I'm nervous. I'm playing against my old time. I used to walk into the schoolyard. Remember Tommy used to have his limp wrist?
Yeah.
I used to walk into the schoolyard thinking I was Tommy. And I'd get up at 3 a.m. to watch Tommy bash, not just halfbacks when they're playing the Poms. Anyone to come in Tommy's way.
Yeah.
And I remember Henson Park, and Peaky goes out to toss the coin, and he comes back and he goes, Where's Tugger? I said, "Well, what's wrong, Peaky?" He said, "Oh, mate, just be a bit careful." He said, "Tommy ain't real happy." I said, "Well, what do you mean he's not real happy?" I said, "Well, what's he look like?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you, he looks like he's got a big beard on, he's got Vaseline all over his face." And he said, "I tossed the coin. Tommy said to me, 'I don't give a fuck which way we run, we're kicking off to you,' and slammed the door in the referee's face." And the referee couldn't think about it, so he just said, and I'll never forget this. We were a better team then, and we had them beat. And they scored in the last couple of minutes. A kid called Muhammad El Safdi, and he scores in the corner. Tommy runs over, picks him up. He says, "I told you, Muhammad, I told you you could do it." And it was just seeing how Tommy had this talent to make average players better.
Yeah.
And he was one of as only a few I've ever seen who had that talent that could make ordinary players better. Sam Burgess could do it.
Yeah.
Just his leadership and the way, I could talk about Tommy all day.
Also joining us, what a story and a surprising story. This is the great man. This is from the Legends series with Danny Bedaris. I think I'm right in saying you're actually part of a very rare club that debuted for their country before their state. 01 Kangaroo, 02 Blue.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, 01. I still remember debuting at Wellington. So that was amazing to do that, and then that was over in a really good team. As I spoke about going into that environment for me, seeing Wendell Saylor and all these guys that just challenging you and sledging you at training,
yep.
And you just go, "Well, what about this? This is amazing!" And just laughing it all up, and having it was a really good period for me. And around that time, so we had, as I spoke about, I had a good. Probably four or five Knights players going into these teams all the time. So I felt pretty comfortable, and combinations had Joey floating around. So every time we got an opportunity to go into those teams, it was awesome. So, that was to represent Australia. I still believe it is for me the highest thing you can do. You want to talk about the pinnacle of the game. It's got to be pulling on that green and gold jersey. Origin is different. It's the product and it's the event.
Yep.
What goes along with it. It seemed to be a huge thing for the game, which it is, but everyone's still striving to pull on that green and gold jersey.
Interesting you say that, because if I do ask about debuts or playing for state, playing for country, I never know if the athlete is bullshitting if they say, no, playing for Australia is more important than state of origin, because I know how important origin is for all you guys. But I think you've put it correctly. Playing for your country is playing for your country and the biggest accolade. Origin, it's about the event and it's about the momentum and the hype. And, yeah, it's very special. But playing for your country is absolute pinnacle.
It has to be. It, in any sport, in anything you're trying to do, you're representing your country because what's gone before you. And I'm always a big believer of the pioneers and, you know, the people that have gone before you and dug the well, and some of the stories you hear. And between 2000 and sort of 2006, there was a lot of tours. There was a lot of tours over to the UK, and I was lucky enough to be a part of a lot of those. And still some of those guys and some of the memories just stick with me. You know, some of those games and those the Great Britain tests, and then we had the English tests, and you know, I really hope they bring back those Great Britain games, because it's some of the most. It's a different type of footy.
It is.
It's so brutal. It is so physical. It's brutal. I remember Adrian Morley getting sent off 8 seconds into a game,
trying to decapitate Robbie Kearns.
Yeah, and you got the fans. It's just brutal. It's dark. It's cold. It's like you're on another planet playing this game. And back then we had. And Robbie Kearns, like you spoke about there, when Adrian Morley took his head off, there's so many players. It was a spiteful, dirty game. But we always had Darren Lockyer that would just, at the last second, pull something out of the hat and get us home. And
okay, this is me this week. Don't want you to feel sorry for me, but this is me this week. I'm house sitting with the missus, with our dogs. In the middle of nowhere, five other dogs and a cat. And the missus is just annoying me. If you do want to make me feel better, drop me a 5-star rating, write a review. Help an old mate out, will you? I first saw our guest, I think it was Harold Matthews' grand final, may have been SG Ball, he'll correct me if I'm wrong, but playing for Penrith against Para in the early teens, it was the start of an era where the Penrith junior nursery really began to excel. Bryce Cartwright has joined us. You've been there, you know the system. What makes this Penrith system and nursery so good, mate?
I think there's just such a, you know, large pool to pick from, and, you know, everyone out in that Penrith area, you grow up playing footy. That's all you've ever done. And I think, everyone just wanted to pull on that Penrith jumper, you know, whether you got, you know, the training shirts or the backpack, everyone just wanted to wear that. And there was just so much competition out there. And I think that's why you get so many good players out there, is because, like I said, there's so many players to pick from and just so much skill. And, you know, as when we were young kids, we'd play all kind of sports, whether it be basketball or cricket, or so everyone's got, you know, a sort of set of skills, and everyone's pretty overgrown out west too. So there's a lot of big boys running around.
Was it the ball grand final, Penrith Para?
No, it was actually the Harold Matts one.
It was Matts, wasn't it?
Yeah, we Parramatta went undefeated the whole year, and we met him in the grand final. And yeah, like you said, Mitch was playing. He was the halfback then, and we got the win over him that day, and that was a game I probably won't ever forget. That was pretty cool to beat them. And,
mate, I know you won't say it yourself, so I'll say it for you. You tore them an absolute asshole that day. Even as a kid, it was amazing, mate. I'll ask, finding talent early and nurturing them, guiding them into first grade. Look, it sounds really, really easy. It's not. The facts are, over your journey as a kid, you probably played with a dozen guys or more that didn't go on to play NRL footy, but could have and possibly should have, but didn't have the work ethic or had distractions or another option in life. Guiding the right kid in the right environment, it's an art form.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, from that Harold Matts Grand Final, I was the only one that made it into NRL. So that was pretty cool. And like you said, it is a hard sort of thing to navigate when you're a young kid, because you've got so many people giving you advice. And, so many people telling you that there's going to be, you know, hiccups along the way, or, you know, paths you can go down that, you know, will divert you from what you're trying to achieve. But you sort of don't listen as a young kid. You don't, you know, take it, you don't think it's going to happen. And, you know, I was lucky enough to, you know, get to the NRL, and then unfortunately had a few hiccups along the way after that. But I was lucky enough to have my dad. He helped me out a lot when I was coming through the juniors, and he just made sure everything I did on the field, I was doing right off the field as well. And he told me some stuff about when he was younger, and that he had some talent, but he probably didn't train as hard. And that's why I've always tried to pride myself on training hard and doing all the little extra work. And I think, you know, I've been really diligent with all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I can't thank my dad enough for, you know, ingraining that into me when I was such a, you know, young kid.
Yeah, Dad certainly had the talent. He certainly had the size, but probably just didn't have that love for progressing in the game that, you know, I guess that you guys all need. Fast forward to 2013, that was really when the Penrith system started to take off. The NYC win in the GF over the Warriors. You look back now, wasn't that a stacked footy side?
Yeah, we were talking about it the other day, actually. There were some fair players in there, you know. We had our big Regan Campbell-Gillard, James Roberts was playing with us, George Jennings, Dallin Watini's Lesniak, Wanga Blake, Isaiah Yeo was off the bench in that team. You know, it's just crazy to see everyone's story. And that year was a really cool year because we all played the first three or four games in the 20s, and then we went on to play, I think, 9 or 10 games in New South Wales Cup out at Windsor Wolves, and, you know, got bashed by men for, you know, 10 weeks. And I think New South Wales Cup back then was a lot harder than it is now.
Yeah.
Playing out at Windsor at, you know, 4 degrees cold in the middle of the night.
Yep.
Playing against the, you know, Auckland Vulcans back then. You just get bashed every weekend. And then we came back 2 games before the semifinals. And, you just knew we weren't going to lose. It just felt like that. And we just, you know, you look to your left or right, there was just too much strike in our team.
Love winding the clock back. Chat again soon. Cheers, legend.
Thanks, mate.
And from Bryce Cartwright and the Penrith Pathways discussion to another of rugby league's genuine ball players and a bloke that knows his pathways, the great Dane from Clarkie's RL column has joined us. How are you, legend?
Yeah, not too bad, Andy. It's been a really good start to the NRL season. We've had some unpredictable results, and I think, you know, when it's really tough to tip the games and unexpected results are happening, that's what makes for the most entertaining footy, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's not necessarily great for the tipsters or the punters, but exciting it is. We've had a number of upsets. We've had form slumps that have continued on from last season. I mean, a crazy start, and it just makes so much more interesting the 8 games on the weekend, because there's genuinely half a dozen of them that could go either way.
Yeah, certainly. And it's there's some unexpected results this year that we just didn't see coming. Some teams that have performed above what we expected and some teams that have definitely performed well below expectation, which kind of brings me to Clarkie's call this week, Andy. It's a little bit of a unique one. But what I did was I went and put out kind of power rankings or early season power rankings. So I split up the competition into these tiers. I've gone premiership contenders, fringe contenders, thereabouts, middle of the field runners, slightly below average, but a chance to play finals. And then, of course, unlikely to play finals at this stage, Andy. Do you want to start top, or should we start at the bottom and work our way up to premiership contenders?
Let's start at the bottom and work our way up to a little bit of positivity. Unlikely to play finals at this stage. I have got South Sydney, Gold Coast, West Tigers. Probably no real surprise there. That's probably sinking the slipper a little bit into the Tigers, who have been better than the Titans or the Rabbitohs, but I don't think they are there in 2024.
For my unlikely to play finals, unfortunately, I do have my Titans, which is upsetting because I thought they'd play finals this year with Dez. I've got the Bulldogs. I think in the early seasons, the issue is still around their spine. They're competing well. They're just not able to capitalize on opportunities. And I have the Bunnies, who are just, they're just in crisis, I suppose. There's reports today that Jason Demetriou will be moved on. They want Malmaninga. They want Craig Bellamy. They're in all sorts at the moment. How many teams have you got in the slightly below standard but still a chance category?
Mate, I've just got one, and that is the Bulldogs, and they are only there because of last week's win. I thought they were terrific, and I thought that was a real confidence booster, and I actually saw things in their football that I hadn't seen in previous weeks, both defensively and with the footy. We often focus on results, and rightfully so. You also sometimes just have to sit back and have a look at the performance, and the performances from the Bulldogs, firstly, they've been a little more consistent this year, but that performance last week against the Roosters, I thought it was terrific. I really did.
I loved their first half. I think that's probably the best 40 minutes of footy they've put together since like 2016, 2017. They did let it slip a little bit in the second half, but they'll look at that and know that was a missed opportunity. In that category for me, Andy, I've only got the Dragons.
Yep.
And I think that's just because they mixed their form so horribly this year. Like, there's moments in games, and there are games where they've genuinely looked really good, but then, you know, losing 38-0 to the Dolphins is obviously horrible. So because their form is so patchy and so unpredictable, I don't want to write them off fully, but I do think it's unlikely they play finals. What about middle of the field runners, Andy? Who have you got fitting into that category?
Middle of the field runners, I've got the Parramatta Eels, the St. George Illawarra Dragons, and the Newcastle Knights. Eels, extremely disappointing. They copped a thumping against the Raiders. There is no other word for it. They got bashed and got bashed up. And I tell you what, I reckon the Parramatta football staff and Brad Arthur are pretty happy there's a side based at Redfern, because Jason Demetriou and South Sydney, the headlines and the focus on Souths has taken it off Parramatta to a large degree. But give it another 7 days and it is going to be hot, hot, hot in Parramatta land if they drop this weekend's game and drop it badly.
And Brad Arthur's such an interesting coach because, you know, when he took over the Eels, they weren't wildly successful. I think he might have taken over whilst they were 16th or something like that.
Yep.
But under his guidance, they've got as high as a grand final. But I don't think there's any evidence that we can see, at least as footy fans looking from the outside, in that they can go one more. So it'll be interesting how that plays out. For me, Andy, I've got the Dolphins. I'm just never prepared to write off Wayne Bennett, especially in his last year. The Knights, I do think they can beat these elite sides in the competition, but just too much revolves off Kalen Ponga. And I think that your genuine premiership contenders will shut them down. I've got the Sea Eagles. Again, they've looked great in some games, haven't in others, but I think they've got a strong roster. And to a lot of people's surprise, I've got the Tigers. Now, I know their last three reads, two wins, one loss, but as you said, taking those results out of it and just looking at their performance, I thought that there was a lot of effort there. There were players turning up when there was excuses not to. They showed me signs that in previous years they would have turned over and folded and kind of just given up on the game. Mm-hmm. But they're fighting tooth and nail 80 minutes. And I just believe if you've got a footy side that'll compete for the full 80, you're always a chance. So that's why I've got the middle of the field. What about the thereabouts category? Who have you got in the thereabouts? Like they're not quite contenders, but they're above middle of the field runners.
Okay, I'm just preempting this. I'm trying to do my maths while I do this because I've got 17 teams written here, but I don't have the Dolphins. So I've got someone twice and I just can't figure out who at this stage. In my thereabouts or rising quickly, I've got the Broncos and the Eagles. Broncos lost more, I believe, in talent over the off-season than a lot of people would like to admit or recall. They've lost Kurt Capewell. They've lost Tom Flegler. They've lost Herbie Farnworth. And I've also got the Eagles there. Terrific win over the Panthers. Terrific. It really was. And congrats to DCE on the milestone. I'm not sold on them just yet. So they are in my thereabouts or rising quickly category.
For mine, I've got the Sydney Roosters. They're just a side that when they put it all together, they can beat anyone. They're very star-studded on paper, and Robinson is an experienced coach. I've got the Cowboys. I've really loved their attack this year. I think their defense is something they'll have to continue to work on as throughout the season, but they're thereabouts for me. I've got the Sharkies. They're always thereabouts, but they just haven't won a finals game in the last 4 years or so, so it's tough for me to say they're contenders. And I've got the Eels, but I do admit if the Eels were to play poor again this week, I would certainly have to drop them. They're averaging half the points they were without Mitchell Moses. I'm excited to see Dejan Arce in the halves there, but they do have a great young halfback in Ethan Sanders, Andy, who they're not using. Yep. I don't know why. He's very young and talented, and I'm just not loving Dylan Brown at seven. I think it takes away from his best footy at six. So I'm not going to write the Eels off. I still think they're thereabouts because Mitchell Moses will come back later in the year, but they do need to respond this week, in my opinion.
I will tell you, and fact, mate, why they're not using the number seven, young Ethan Sanders. Brad Arthur is dead against dropping a young bloke into the middle of the pit. And at the moment, he would be dropping a young bloke on debut into the middle of the pit because what Parramatta is producing at the moment isn't good enough, and Brad Arthur has done it before and he will not do it again. So Ethan Sanders has been given a stay for the moment. Okay, fringe contenders, that was where you were going to head it. I've got the Raiders, the Sharks, the Roosters and the Cowboys. The Raiders' consistency to start the year is probably on par with the Warriors and the Storm for me. Been very, very impressed. The Sharks, we still don't know if they can beat the top sides at the end of the year. The Roosters, injuries, suspension, question marks. There has got to be question marks over James Tedesco and his return. When that return is and if that return is, because unfortunately Teddy has copped too many knocks now to consider it an automatic that he just comes back within a week or comes back within a couple of weeks. So a lot of focus on James Tedesco. And I've also got the Cowboys for all the reasons that you just mentioned, mate. I think they actually really, really smooth.
It's interesting you mention the injuries and suspensions the Roosters have had, and unfiltered listeners will appreciate this fact. It's a really strange one. The last time the Sydney Roosters fielded their absolute strongest 17 that they could name was actually the 2019 grand final.
Wow. So,
and that was like Jake Friend coming off the bench, only just making it back from injury. So it's been a long run for the Roosters where they've always had at least one player sidelined through injury or suspension. For my fringe contenders, I've got the Melbourne Storm. I can never write off Craig Bellamy. I made that mistake when Billy Slater retired, and they showed me why it was silly to do that. I learnt my lesson. I've got the Canberra Raiders. They're just playing a different brand of footy to what they were playing last year, where maybe with Jack Whiten, it was a little bit stale, or maybe teams had cottoned onto it. With a young half there like Ethan Sanders, they're playing more explosive. They're taking more chances. They didn't win a game last year by 13-plus, Andy. Their average win margin in their three games this year has been 24 points. So they're looking great there. And the Warriors, I know they started their season 0-2, but they're on a three-game win streak now, and I love their roster. I think it's very strong. Mm. And even in their losses, they still shown me enough that they were in the game and competing, so I was happy with that. Premiership contenders, who fits into that category for you?
I've got the Panthers, the Storm, and the Warriors. Just the three of them up there at the moment, but genuine premiership contenders. I would be surprised. In fact, I would be stunned if either of those three dropped out of this category at any stage throughout the year. But who knows what can happen? Just look at what happens to South Sydney over the last couple of weeks. But the Panthers, the Storm, and the Wires for me. What about you?
I've got one team the same. I've got the Penrith Panthers. Speaks for itself, I suppose. Three premierships in a row. And the Brisbane Broncos, which is interesting because we're viewing them fairly differently at the moment. You had them in the thereabouts category, I believe. I've still seen elite things from the Broncos this year. They've been hurt by injuries. I liked their second half against the Storm last week, who I hold in high regard.
Yep.
And that was without Adam Reynolds. So that was impressive. And without Reece Walsh and without Payne Haas.
Yeah.
Now, the challenge for Brisbane will be when finals rolls around, they don't have the same depth. They don't have Keenan Polisea, an underrated player coming from the bench.
Yeah.
They don't have the same weapons as Capewell and Farnworth on their edges. And they do lose a lot in the middle without Flegler. So they'll need to rejig their game plan slightly come finals to what we saw last year. But I still believe in this Broncos side, and I'm happy to have them up in the premiership contenders. Three more, if I can trouble you, Andy.
Go.
We'll just one or two players from each of these. Who's a player that's form has just peaked this year, or you believe they're in career best form to start the 2024 season?
Jamal Fogarty, absolutely. I don't think there's any debate on that one. I believe you've got him in this category as well. I think Jamal has always had the talent. He was a late starter, a late bloomer, if you like, but I think he's been terrific. And I'm going to throw these two in from the Warriors. both injury issues, and sadly one of them out for a while. But Luke Metcalf, I think he deserves a little rap here. Speedy recovery, little legend, speedy recovery. And Wade Egan, who continues to impress, his consistency, his leadership, the type of young man he's grown into. I reckon it's terrific. I commentated, and I've known Wade since 17 years of age, coming through the system at Penrith. I was stunned when they let him go. He's a superstar. He really is, and he will fit in to a star-studded football side, or he'll fit into a tradesman type football side with his work ethic. So they're my three up there. What about you?
Just quickly on your ones with Wade Egan in particular, the Panthers YouTube rather has a video of all their team up and coming through the junior grades, and you're on commentary for most of those highlights. So you're definitely familiar with a lot of their stars now as they were coming up. And second of all, it would have been within his first 10 NRL games, Channel 9 commentary, Andrew John said, "This is a guy that reminds me a lot of Cameron Smith." And I sort of, you know, I thought that's probably a bit too much praise for a young gun comparing him to the best ever, but he's only improved throughout his career and gotten better and better each year. We don't know what his ceiling is yet. He's been awesome this year. I'm going Tommy Dearden. Yeah. I mean, on both sides of the footy, like his rundown tackle against the Broncos when they were down by like 20 points, he didn't have to do it. Incredible effort. And that's the sort of stuff that I think Billy Slater will really take notice of. Now, obviously, there's a man there called Cameron Munster in the sixth jersey who would be very hard to leave out. But with his groin concerns, if Cameron Munster wasn't fit come Origin time, I don't think Billy Slater would be massively startled. I don't think this Maroon side would feel like they've lost something because Tom Dearden is just playing such great footy right now. I guess that's a massive compliment you can give him when you compare him to someone like Munster. What about form rising or players that you can see starting to hit a new high that you think when we review this maybe 5 weeks down the track they could be in the peak category?
I'm going to go Angus Crichton. A veteran here, and we've only just seen him back. What a 12 or 18 months he's had. Speculation, rumours, off-field distractions, injuries, stints in reserve grade, and I thought he was one of the Roosters' shining lights in that loss to the Bulldogs on the weekend, and that there wasn't many shining lights. So I'm going to go Angus Crichton, which is a bit of a smoky. So is my next one, and a guy that doesn't get many raps, Corey Jensen. I think for the Broncos, I think they'd be lost without him at the moment, with no Payne Haas, no Tom Flegler. I think he is their go forward. There are other guys that get bigger raps, and probably rightfully so, but Corey Jensen for mine, superstar.
Yeah, Corey Jensen is a very underrated performer. Just in his consistency, like his best game and his worst game are probably, you know, they're very close together.
Yep.
Whereas there are other prop forwards that'll give you more than him, but their worst game, Corey has them covered, absolutely. I'll start with a prop. I'm going to go Stefano Utu-Ikamanu from the Tigers. Now, it could be because Origin's coming up, but his form the last few weeks has really impressed me. He's been massive for that Tigers side, playing off Appy. I think last week he had the most meters for the Tigers, the most hit-ups, and he also had 41 tackles, which was the most for only one missed.
So
whilst he is offering these like X-factor moments where he makes the breaks, Andy, he's also putting in the hard yards as well.
As a Parramatta junior, mate, that's exactly how he was seen and how it was forecast. And Parramatta, absolutely filthy. They had to let him go, but they did. They also had Oregon Kafusi there, but they had Regan Campbell-Gillard and Junior Paulo up front. So they really weren't after what you would term a rank one or two prop. They were after rank three or four props, and they knew they couldn't pay the freight that Stefano and Oregon were going to get elsewhere.
That's interesting because, you know, Brad Arthur, whilst he's been at the club, has lost other young promising forwards like Kalepi Tanganoa.
Yep.
Tepai Moroa was playing great when he was let go. But then the forwards Brad Arthur has gone out and signed, you have to admit he's done a really great job in taking them to new levels. My last form rising player, I'll go Isaac Tungo. I always knew he was a great player, obviously, with the premierships. But, you know, he came up with six line breaks in a game earlier this year playing outside Cleary. And I think this year he'll, particularly when Nathan Cleary gets back, I think he'll go to like a genuine Origin option.
Yep.
Whereas last year we just viewed him as an elite centre. I think he'll be a rep option this year, despite the amount of depth the Blues have there. What about form dipping or players below their best, Andy? Not to take a shot at anyone, but players that we know at their best can just be so much better than what we've seen, and we'd love to see them get back to their best.
Obvious one is Latrell Mitchell, and unfortunately, Latrell will learn at some stage when you turn the spotlight onto yourself, the spotlight will also find you when you don't want it to. And at the moment, before this suspension, playing poorly, and there is no escaping that. So he's in the form dipping. Blake Brayley is another for me. I scratch my head when some mention that he's a contender or a possible or a smoky for New South Wales. I just don't see it. And the Safidi brothers, they should be conquering the world with their size and their athleticism, and they should have conquered the world for the last 6 years. And for me, they haven't. So form dipping, players below their best, Latrell Mitchell, Blake Brayley and the Safidis.
Blake Brayley is an interesting one because with Brad Fittler at the helm of the Blues, he was involved in their wider squad.
Yep.
But I think if you were to look at the Blues this year, you'd have Reece Robson ahead of him, Coruscant ahead of him, and Wade Egan as well. Yep. So I agree with you there. One of my selections was Latrell Mitchell. As you said, we just know he's capable of so much more, and whether he does need to go back to centre to just get his head straight, but he's also just not involving himself as much as he used to in games. I've got his partner in crime down there as well, Cody Walker, and I suppose it kind of goes hand in hand with me having the Rabbitohs so low in my categories there. But you know, I look at Cody Walker and I think Latrell's been suspended now. Lachlan Ilias got the axe, and now Damien Cook's got the axe. I went through and looked at it statistically. Damien Cook has been the third best hooker this year statistically. Mm. He was second in tackles made per game and second in a tackle efficiency rating. So I think it's unfair that the rest of this Rabbitohs spine has been looked at, but not Cody Walker. I know he's capable of more. I just don't know if Jason Demetriou is getting the same out of him as what Wayne Bennett was able to do so. And for that reason, I do wonder, do the Rabbitohs persist with him as a long-term option, given they do have some younger guns coming through in their lower grades? So they're my selections for that one, Andy.
Always a pleasure, legend. Each and every week we will do it on the Rugby League Super Pod. Dane from Clarkie's RL column, enjoy your footy on the weekend, mate.
Thanks, Andy. You too.
The Dream Team episodes are next level. You can listen to them anytime because they don't date, and I reckon you disagree with all of them. It's the ultimate argument starter. Who's in your Dream Team? You can pick any player from any era, any team, and then combine them. You're the coach. Here's a couple of positional choices from some of the game's best. Let's start with Wade Graham. Okay, yeah. Let's start with fullback, buddy. Who have you got?
I've got Billy Slater. Played against him for many years. I remember, you know, when I first came in, you know, playing Melbourne, and it was almost like a conclusion that you had to play your very best to win that game, and Melbourne probably had to be a little bit off. And it was, you know,
yep.
Billy Slater was one of the keys to that. He was just brilliant. And I got the opportunity to play with him in the World Cup and seen firsthand how he went about his business, and he was a pleasure to play with. And, you know, he's been awesome, and you see how he's transferred into being a coach too. If you've been around him in any sort of camp for any reason, you know why he'd be such a good coach too.
Absolutely. I thought last year's State of Origin, there were questions over the fact that he was a rookie coach, but anyone that knows him and knows what a footy nerd he is and how specific he is with everything, it came as no surprise that he was successful. Up next on Dream Team, Kyle Felt. But who have you paired in the halves?
In the halves, obviously I'd have to have Jono.
Yeah.
he's outstanding. I was very lucky to play a lot of games alongside him or in my team, and some of the things he'd done would baffle me. It's crazy. For someone that was like 80 odd kilos ringing wet to have the ball on a string and to get through the line the way he did, I'd even force for some of the dummies he'd throw, and I was on his own team, so it was pretty cool. This next one's really hard. In their prime, it's hard to pick because I'd really like to put Lockie in there, but I think Andrew Johns has to be in there. He's, I don't know. Yeah, it's a tough one. I'd probably have to go Johnsy.
Okay.
He's, yeah.
I think it's we've found our number 14, D Lockyer, then.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not in the 13, unfortunately. Sorry, Lockie.
one of the great 14s, yeah. Andrew Johns, he would have been doing his thing as I guess you're a young man, watching every Super Saturday and just loving what he was doing.
Yeah, it also broke my heart a lot of times when Origin time was on. Yeah. He was obviously a big game player, and the way he stood up in a lot of those Origins, and even for Newcastle, I think one of the grand finals, they kicked, or it might have been a prelim final, he kicked the goal from the sideline to, I guess, take him in, which was, he's a big-time player, big moment player as well.
Andrew Johns and Jonathan Thurston in the halves.
Want the ultimate unfiltered message for your mates? I'll say anything you want. Ripping heads off and shitting down necks all day long. Find me on Swish at swish.com.
Also joining us on the Dream Team, the Premiership winner, Big T, Tony Pulitua.
So the lock is Brad Clyde.
Yeah.
The great Brad Clyde. This is my all-time favourite player. So there was no way I could leave him out of my Dream Team. And, he was just a great player. He was great. I love watching him as a kid growing up. It's during my time, in my era, my sort of like age group of players and, age groups around me, we all wanted to be that Brad Clyde. Brad Clyde was always, when you played that backyard footy, it was always Brad Clyde, the name that popped up all the time. So, he won many, he won a few titles with Canberra and, represented Australia. I think he was probably the forward that changed the game for the forwards in rugby league. Just the way that the lock forward sort of like played. He was a super talent, and I love watching him. I still run into him every day when we go to work. So
do you really?
Yeah. I see Brady I think he catches a train into the city and, just walks by with his headphones and, just gives me a wave just as he's going off to work. And, it's really good to see. He could probably still play, seeing how fit he still looks.
The elite guys, Tony, I always reckon that they would be superstars in any era they played, whether it's Bob Fulton or Wally Lewis or a Brad Clyde. I'd love to see Brad Clyde under these new rules with more fatigue in the defensive line. I actually think that he could probably even be better in 2022 than what he was in 1992.
Yeah, that's it. Because I heard he was very, very fit. And, I felt that he changed the game a lot for especially for the back row sort of forward type players, and he was just a great talent on the field. It was great to see him play.
Okay, mate, we've got Clydey locking the scrum. What about our second rowers? This was your position, so I always get really interested to see which of the rivals you pick in your position.
So the rivals I've gone with, Adrian Morley.
He's
one second row. And Gordon Tallis.
That might well be the toughest second row that's been put together yet.
Moz was, I was quite fortunate. I actually played with Moz over in England for Salford.
Yeah,
and he's a top bloke. And the things that he did on the footy field, he was definitely the Sam Burgess before.
Yes.
Sam Burgess come out.
Yeah.
And, mate, just the,
I mean, he used to sleep guys on the field. He was an absolute mongrel and on the field, and he was tough to play against. He was such a good talent, and yeah, he was one of those players that you'd look at a team sheet just to see if he was playing or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you felt really good when you didn't see his name there on the team sheet. Moz was a, you know, he did some special things for the Roosters when he came out to play over there, and you know, he won a title there. Yeah, mate, he was just a great player.
Yeah, fully agree.
Really good player. Yeah,
fully agree. And Gore, what you said about Adrian, you could pretty much substitute in for Gordon Tallis, similar type of guy, yeah, and similar type of player in many ways.
Yeah, I mean, Gordy was, you know, he was that raging bull. He that's a perfect nickname for Gordy. For me, I always tried to base my attacking game around Gordon, you know, coming through playing grade. I thought he was one that you definitely wanted to sort of like mold your game around. Mm. And he was just awesome to watch. Just at every level, whether it was Australia, Queensland, Broncos, he was just great to watch. And you know, he was another one. Yeah, like you said, you sort of like looked at the team sheet just to see, yeah, whether he was playing. And yeah, like I said, it was always good when his name wasn't on there. yeah, Gordy, I always looked up to Gordy. And I told him that when we had a drink one time over up in Brisbane after one of the games. And actually, my first test match against Australia in 1998, we played Australia over in North Harbour in Auckland, New Zealand. And after the test match, I you know, we exchanged jerseys. I wanted to change my jersey with Gordy, and but Brad Thorne had come over and wanted to change jerseys first. So I hadn't got to Gordon yet. So I just gave my jersey to Brad Thorne. And as I was walking off, I just felt this big hand on my shoulder to turn me around. And it was Big Gordy. And he goes, "Oh, I wanted to change jerseys with you. I wanted to exchange jerseys with you." And I was just like gobsmacked. I was 18, 19. And
yeah,
I just couldn't believe that Gordy had asked me to change jerseys with him, exchange jerseys with him. And I said, "I'm really sorry. I just gave it to Brad, Big Brad." And he goes, "No, that's all right. That's all right. It's all good." Anyway, I went into the sheds, and then after the game, our team manager come over and said, "Gordy wants to see you." And I went over. Gordon had actually come into our sheds after the test match, and he bought all his Australian gears for me. And he said, "Here, this is for you." And, wow. You know, so that's something that I'll never forget. That's something I've still got all his gears that he gave to me that night. And, you know, that's something that I always cherish and will never forget what Gordy did for me that night. So.
Terrific jersey swap story with the Raging Bull. Gordon Tallis, yeah, who's in the second row there with Adrian Morley. Plenty of episodes of Dream Team with some of the biggest names in footy, some cracking lists and explanations as well. Check the back catalogue of episodes and rip in.
Just leave me alone, will you?
Shut your mouth, essay.
You guys just go back and have fun on your jungle gym, okay?
Does Butt Buddy have a name?
If you're referring to me as Butt Buddy, yes, I do have a name. It's Brennan Huff.
If you don't come over here and lick that white dog shit.
Okay, the Weekly Guard Docky Award. Someone who rubbed a face in dog shit goes to decent fans having to watch on as the keyboard fuckwits and cowards rip into poor Jason Demetriou and Brad Arthur and get personal.
We're all entitled to an opinion. We're all entitled to a say, 100%. And I love that about sport and footy in particular. Who doesn't love a good chat or discussion or debate? But getting personal, really? I mean, fucking really? Blokes that look like Homer Simpson or Al Bundy, eating twisties, drinking Coke on their lounge with their phones in their hand, typing that these guys are this or these guys are that and they don't know shit and I could do better. Please, you're embarrassing yourselves and you deserve to be called out. In 2024, aren't we smart enough and don't we know enough that personal crap directed at others online for whatever reason just isn't cool, it's not acceptable, and it shouldn't be tolerated. So on behalf of us decent ones, and we are the majority, lick a steaming pile of fresh dog shit, you cowardly motherfuckers. You keyboard warriors, win the Chris Gardocki Award this week. Rant over, doesn't that feel good? And that's us for the week. What a week it's been on the only podcast that talks with the superstars and not about them every single fucking episode. It's just about weekend time, you know the deal. Grab a pizza, strangle a couple of coldies, whack on some multis, enjoy the footy, and always back Pikey in the last. Oh, leave me a 5-star rating and it's my shout at the bar. Leave me a review. Well, you can have me for the night. Make sure you come back and visit me soon, legends.